Traders, to another exciting episode in our series called Meet the Trader. Episode 4, I'm Lennox, and you're going to hear Dietrich interviewing this special guest of ours. Her name is Megan DeVito. She's from New Jersey, and she calls herself a kingdom coach. She has a background with the topic of boundaries, which is something we have in common with because we did an episode earlier this year talking about how we had to set boundaries in our own lives. And it was a very enlightening, eye-opening topic because we didn't realize how many people really are dealing with estrangement or setting boundaries in their lives. And so we came across Megan and we asked her to be on our program. Be sure to like us. Be sure to follow us. If you've never heard of Truth Is Now Treason, make sure you check out some of our other episodes. We do a variety of things. We mainly talk about biblically based topics. We have Unfiltered Truth, where we deal with a series over several weeks or months. We do Truth Bits, which I sing on some of those. And we talk about just any topic. It could be about loneliness. It could be about what do you do when your life falls apart. And then we also do some singing with our American Idol series where we're writing parodies. And of course, Meet the Traitor. Dietrich's favorite is our treason bites. That is where we expose the lies that the media is telling everyone. We expose the lies in our government with our government leaders. We try to get the truth out there. And we realize that in this time period that we're living in, we are considered now the traitors because we believe in the truth and we will stand for the truth no matter what. And so that's why we have this podcast. So be sure to check those episodes out. So here are Dietrich and Megan.
At your website, a lot of what I read was about boundaries. How did you get to where you are in regards to boundaries? How did God lead you there?
Well, Steve, I just want to say it's an honor and a privilege. Thank you for having me here. So boundaries, I think boundaries has become my love language, something that I never had growing up, which is boundaries. I never had them. I wasn't born with boundaries. I certainly didn't grow up in a family dynamic with boundaries. So I really had to learn the hard way on how to build boundaries in my life and also how they were God honoring. So just to give you a little bit of background, how I got to be so passionate about boundaries today. At the age of 15, I became heavily addicted to alcohol. I was an alcoholic from about 15 to 25. And I'm not blaming my environment, but I'm not a victim to it. But I grew up in a very dysfunctional family, and I didn't know how dysfunctional it was until I got healthy. So there was generation of alcoholism after alcoholism after generation after generation after generation. And then here I am at 25. I wake up in a blackout, come to, and I'm like, I need help. And I certainly couldn't go to my family at the time because they were in it.
Yep.
Right. So they don't know what help looks like, but let's have a drink, right? And or take a pill to like pry our sorrows away, right? So it was God. It was God in my life, and it's always God, but I didn't know it was God then. So 25, I went to rehab and then a 12-step program. And at that point, I had my idol was my career. I had a great career at a young age. And I said to myself, if I get arrested for a DUI, I'm going to lose my job. Like, that's all I cared about was like losing that business card. So I did the work of getting sober. And then life started getting really good, right? But then I started looking at my family and I'm like, this is not healthy. And I had to put boundaries in place to protect my sobriety at the time. And that's where God started putting those boundaries in place for me. It was just I would do anything to hold on to my sobriety for dear life. You know, a couple of years into my sobriety, I met my husband. We started our family. And then the crazy really started over here with my family. they say it's like, if you could picture like a baby mobile, like everyone's on the baby mobile. I get off and get healthy and everyone goes wonky. Like it's just out of whack. The dysfunction junction really kicked up. And at that point, it was survival mode for my family. It's my first marriage and my first child, newborn child. And now I have sobriety, but now I put boundaries in place for myself. Now it's for them. right? I got to stop this dysfunction. I got to stop this crazy, right? And more boundaries that I was learning how to put up, they were getting more intense on the other side. So unfortunately, 16 years ago, I had to cut ties with my family, my parents, my birth parents, and a twin. You know, at that point, it was a very lonely stage for me because I wasn't walking with Jesus. I grew up Catholic and there was nothing wrong with the Catholic religion, but I grew up in it with a fear-loving God, right? So when I became sober, like I didn't think I was worthy of his love, right? I was always messing up. So like, why would I show up for God, right? And then I started seeing like how God was working in my life, but I was lonely in the season. I'm newly married. I have a baby. I don't have my parents. I don't have support. I had to go almost in hiding. I didn't want social media. This was only what? Oh my gosh. It was 16 years ago. Didn't have social media. I lived very like protected. I was in fear. If now I know if I was walking with Jesus, I wouldn't have been so lonely. Right. But I was so desperate. I was so desperate. And then started putting boundaries in place and God really starts speaking to me. I got, you know how I don't know if you know anything about addiction, but addiction comes up. You put one down and then another one comes up. It's like playing.
That is the case a lot of times. Yes.
Okay. It's like playing that game at the arcade, right? Like the gopher comes up, right? Yeah. So life, you know, now I'm like in peace, right? I have my husband. I now have a second baby. We stopped this dysfunction and I went through a lot of therapy. And then I get addicted to the hustle culture of building a social media based business, right? I was like, I'm done with the fear. I'm going to go in. If anyone finds me, they find me. And I'm going to just go ahead and provide for my family. And I got stuck in the hustle culture to the point where I was so addicted to work, the promotion, the money, that I hit a rock bottom just as bad as I did when I was 25 going into rehab. Now, I'm justifying everything. I'm sober, so I'm good. But then what happened was, what was I doing? I was putting work above God. I was putting my work before my husband. I was putting work before my kids, but I'm providing, right? So I got addicted to the hustle culture. And then I was like, okay, God, whatever I need to do, God shut me down. He said to me, I'll never forget, Megan, you need to close your business. And I was like, God, do you know how much money I'm making? And he's like, yeah, I'm giving it to you. And I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, you're not honoring it. And I walked away from a very profitable business. I mean, we were in direct sales and there's nothing against direct sales, but you have to build and hustle and,
sure, yeah.
Right. And like, and you build from the startup and now I didn't have social media. And the thing is, I didn't want to know anyone on my social media because I didn't want it to be associated with my family or friends. I cut all ties. So I'm building a business from scratch where I don't know people. Right. So like just the grind, and the Lord shut me down and he said, I hit a rock bottom. It was before COVID, about a year before COVID. And I came to my husband and I just shattered and I was like, I need help. The Lord convicted me and he was like, you know, you don't take a Sabbath. And he's like, why aren't you taking a day of rest? Like, why are you going to church service and then working in the car on the way there and working in the car on the way back? Like, who do you think you are? Like you're not that important, right? Now, I had dysfunctional boundaries in the beginning, right? Where I needed to break those generational cycles of boundaries. Then I needed boundaries over my time and my availability and my work and business boundaries. So like, God just kept showing me how important boundaries were. And then I shut down my business. I walked away from it. I just say this and I'm not like doing it with ego or anything. In one month, I remember I opened up my paycheck and it was $15,000. And my husband goes, that's it. And I go, I was so offended. He goes, it's blood money. He goes, we lost you. So I had the blinders on. And God shut me down. He put boundaries in place. So now I help clients build boundaries. And what that looks like, it's what God wants for our life. You look at the family order, right? You look at God's family order. It's God, your spouse, your children, and everything else. And it's like a messy Jenga game. We're a mess. We're broken. We get caught up in the shiny and everything, you know, and this over here. And when that Jenga mess game is all messy, our life, their foundation is so rocky, the boundaries. But once we start putting his family order in line, everything comes together.
So you said a few interesting things in there, and this goes along with what I read on your website. So on your website, you said during in one of your blogs, you said that if you draw a boundary with somebody and that boundary causes an issue between you and them, that's a sign of a faulty foundation. Talk about that. What does that mean that a boundary creates chaos?
I'm sure you could relate because I was listening to the podcast you did back in April and you were kind of talking about there was a lot of chaos going on in your situation, right? So a boundary in place. We just went through this too. And it's like we go through it and God shows us and we go through it. And we say, you know, no, thank you. No, I don't want to be a part of that. Or no, this doesn't work for me. And the other party can't tolerate that. And they get emotional and they lash out. But their emotional bankruptcy is not ours to sign. It's not our debt to sign. And so many times we take it on when God was like, this is your yard. You need to be in your yard. There's a visual that I talk about all the time. And I ask my clients to, and if your audience wants to do this, just shut your eyes for a minute, right? And shut your eyes and look at the yard that you're in. And there's a beautiful fence around this yard. And look at the flowers and the landscape, and it might have like, you know, just your quiet spot. And it's so peaceful. Now you go to your gate and you open up your gate and all the yelling and all the noise and all the screaming and all the emotions outside that gate. We have the control. Are we going to let it in or are we going to shut our gate? And most of the time in my life, I let that in. That's why it caused me to drink so much, right? Because I was taking on others' emotions, dysfunctional family, feeling bad and guilty for their mess up life, right? We own it. And then we keep just breaking down our foundation the more that we take that in.
So another thing you said, you talked that boundaries are God honoring. How do you see that?
I see that because if I'm going to put a boundary in place, I'm going to look to God and see how he does his boundaries. I would love when Jesus went out and healed people, right? But he knew when he needed to come back and rest. He could have healed everybody, right? Like he could have just went ahead, but he knew that he needed to go and go rest and go spend time with his father and go and pray and put those boundaries over his heart and his time. You know, and when we look to God for boundaries, there's things he lets into his world and there's things he doesn't. And he's clear about that. There's sin that he does not want in his world, right? And then there's peace, love, understanding, kindness, right? There's things that he wants in his world. So that's what I meant about that, looking to God for boundaries.
Absolutely. I mean, I agree completely. If you look at the Bible is full of instances where God drew boundaries. And one I never realized until I read Lisa Turkhurst's book, Good Boundaries and Goodbyes. Tremendous book. I love that book. He talks about when God threw Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. They ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If he had decided to let them stay and they had eaten from the tree of life, they would have lived eternally separated from God, which is not what we were made to do. And that's just one example. Another example we use is Jeremiah chapter 5 in our episode we did on boundaries. I'm starting to see, and this is a very healthy thing in my opinion, I'm seeing more people talking about boundaries. And I think that's an excellent thing.
Think of a toddler, right? Like think of a toddler, like they are boundaryless, right? They're gonna, right? Like we want them to push our boundaries so they learn.
Yeah.
We don't want them to go touch the hot stove, but we're there to correct them and say no. And God does that with us when we starve those distractions that I'm so passionate. And when I say starve those distractions are emotional distractions that we are letting in into our heart to fester all of these weeds of unforgiveness, of hurt, of resentment, of jealousy, all of that stuff, right? If we have all that stuff in our heart because we didn't put boundaries in place, we can't hear from our Heavenly Father.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's one of the things that Lisa Turkhurst mentions in her book. She says, the reason for boundaries is to allow yourself to become what God wants you to become. And that goes along with the thing, and I'd like to hear your comment on this. She points out in her book, there's two main reasons that God made boundaries. And if we're going to make our boundaries the way God makes boundaries, it's because of sin and it's to protect. What do you think on that?
I mean, I absolutely, I agree. I've what I love and what I get so passionate and fired up about is when somebody has the sin and they say, enough, I am done with this sin. And it's so freeing to see and be a part of. And you just want to cheer them on, and they draw the line in the sand for themselves. We all have sin, right? But it's so freeing to say, nope, I'm drawing the line in the sand. I'm not even entertaining it anymore.
Oftentimes when we're having to draw boundaries, it is because of sin. But again, it's not to tell the other person you can't. It's just, I can't be part of that.
Yeah. And I think as Christians too, people like, you know, I've been quiet. I didn't shrink back, but I'm not as vocal. Well, I am kind of, but about the dysfunction in my family and break in generation cycles. And unfortunately had to divorce my family, right? Like it is what, but people are like, oh, you're Christian and you're supposed to, forgive. Yes, I forgive. Yes, I pray for their salvation, but God didn't make us a doormat and he does not want to be a victim. So there's areas there that we have to be clearly clear on what we stand for when it comes to boundaries.
That was another article I read on your blog. You talked about breaking the cycle of dysfunction that can come from generational things. And I thought that was beautiful. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to do that, especially when it comes to something like alcoholism. You know, I have seen that also where it is generational. And my father, God bless him, he had an alcoholic father. And my father is a teetotaler. And because of that, I can probably say I am a teetotaler because my dad decided I'm not going to participate in this sin because his godly influence there influenced me to say, I'm not going to allow that destruction to happen in my family either.
Wow. Amen to that. Like, glory to God. And congratulations to your dad for seeing that because, you know, I think when it comes to family too, that's where the boundaries get the most messy. Church and family, like those two things, right? Anything else, like game on, right? But the family, you know, breaking those generation cycles, like we don't have to own the dysfunction of our family's past. So many people take that on as their own. And it's really unfortunate because it's not theirs to own.
Absolutely. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, how do they?
Yeah, well, I would love to offer your audience a free session. You could go to helpwithboundaries.com and you'll go right to my website. I am on Facebook. Please follow me. I'm always not preaching, but sharing about boundaries. I'm Megan DeVito on Facebook with an H. And people could just get in my inbox. However is the best way for them. I'll be happy to show up for your audience and offer a free session.
Cool. So if they were to come to you and have a session, what are some of the things they could expect? Like what would be a good prep for them to get ready to talking to you?
We're going to ask pray before we get on, ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and then see where we lead, you know, and that's the beautiful part of working and being a kingdom coach, you know, we give him the glory, but the Holy Spirit's going to bring what they need to talk about. And you know what? I do ask hard questions. You know, and I don't ask questions to make anyone uncomfortable, but sometimes if we want change, we have to confront. And if we don't confront, there's no change, right? So it's asking those hard questions of what change they want and how willing are they for that change?
When you know you're being insane, when you're doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Yeah. You know, sometimes we have to allow somebody to ask us those questions to get us a different result.
And then at the end of our session, my favorite question is, close your eyes. What is the Holy Spirit telling you? And usually they're like, they're convicted so much, having a coach, you can't accomplish everything in one session, but it's preparing the heart. There's a lot of weeding that has to be done of the landscaping of the heart, right?
Absolutely. So is there anything else you would like to share with our audience?
I just want to thank you for having this platform. I mean, I want to thank you for giving people a voice, you know, breaking generational cycles, addiction, boundaries. That's all like hurtful things that people experience. And they're not so quick to know where to go. When I was going through it, I had the rooms of AA I got sober, you know, but not everyone had us a recovery room, you know, so besides a church, right? And even in the church, it gets a little wonky sometimes. People are out there that walk these experiences so they can help others. And I'm one of those people. So thank you.
That's excellent. You know, I think it's a beautiful thing because when it comes to psychology, there's so much out there that's crap. However, when we take what's real and we filter it through God's word, which is what I see you doing, Megan, that's a beautiful thing because I think it's a good thing that the church is realizing, hey, you know what? We can take what's good out of this, filter through God's word, and we can help people become better parents, better spouses, better followers of Christ. And, you know, isn't that what the church is supposed to be all about?
Absolutely.
Well, Megan DeVito, I want to thank you for the time you spent with us. And again, if anybody wants to get a hold of you, what's that website one more time?
Helpwithboundaries.com or Megan DeVito with an H, because there's two Megan DeVitos out there and I'm the one with the H, but that's why I say helpwithboundaries.com. You'll find me.